I have a really fun podcast planned for you today. It's all about movies. The second half of the podcast, I'm joined by my good friend Mitch Marshall. We talk about the upcoming Oscars, kind of break down which movies we think will win the major awards. Same goes for acting. So you're going to want to stick around for that. And it was a great conversation. So again, thanks to Mitch. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens this year with the Oscars. Before we get to that, I want to just quickly go over my top 10 movies of 2018. I know I'm a little late on that, but better late than never. So I'm going to start with my top 10 movies of 2018, and then I'll be joined by Mitch. So let's get into it. Starting with the top 10 movies of 2018, I'm going to go from 1 to 10. So my favorite movie of 2018 was Mission Impossible Fallout. I loved that movie. Those movies keep getting better and better. I did a review of this movie about 6 months ago with my friend Jordan Smith. We kind of broke down our favorite moments from the movie. You know, this movie and a couple others on this list, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to quantify it, so bear with me here. But every once in a while, I'll see a movie and I'll lean over to my wife or to my friends and I'll say, this movie is amazing. I don't want this to end. You're just so engaged. You forget everything. All you care about is the characters, the story, what's going to happen. And that was my experience with Mission Impossible Fallout. And then ever since I was a kid, you know, I guess I wasn't a kid, but one of the first really memorable movie experiences I had was with Lord of the Rings. And something I loved about the Lord of the Rings trilogy is minimal use of CGI. They tried to do things practically as much as they could. You know, as a kid, I think I watched the making of the Lord of the Rings trilogy several times. And I was so interested in how they were able to achieve such a sense of realism. And Mission Impossible, specifically with director Christopher McQuarrie, it has that realism, that practicality to the stunts that makes it so engaging. Love that movie. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to be short on number two because it's talked about a lot in the Oscars portion of the podcast with Mitch, but it's A Star Is Born. I just thought it was the most, how do I say this? I should be better at English than I am, but it was the best acted movie of the year. Bradley Cooper was phenomenal. He continues to become one of my favorite actors. Lady Gaga was mesmerizing musically and as an actress. And then Sam Elliott, Bradley Cooper's brother, was phenomenal. The story was really good. I mean, the first hour of that movie is fabulous. And I love that movie. I love some of the songs. I love the acting. It's rewatchable. That movie was phenomenal. That was another one of those movies in 2018 where I just was so enthralled by what was on the screen. You'd totally forget about what's happening on the outside. Love it. Number three, and this one is in 2018 for me because that's when I saw it, but I think it came out late 2017, and it's Molly's Game. True story, crazy true story, actually, about an Olympic skier who has a devastating injury and moves to LA and starts running underground poker tournaments. And true story, it's crazy. Jessica Chastain, an actress I love, is so phenomenal in that movie. Idris Elba is in there as well. He's really good. I, as you guys know, if you listen to my other movie podcast, I just have a knack and an interest for true stories, original stories, which this totally is. And because of that, it just adds an extra element knowing that a lot of this stuff happened. Maybe not exactly to the T, but at the essence, the core of the movie, that's what happened. And Molly's Game is really good. Number four, a genre I don't love, but this movie was so, so good. Pains me to put it at four, but A Quiet Place. I loved A Quiet Place. The tension in the movie theater is unlike anything I've experienced in years. I can't remember the last time that I experienced that kind of tension. And so, again, great acting, good story, incredible tension without being grotesque. I'm not a big satanic kind of demon scary movie fan, and this wasn't that at all. I loved A Quiet Place. It's a movie I'll probably watch several more times throughout my lifetime. Excellent job by John Krasinski. I'm a little leery about the sequel, but I'll give it a shot. Number five, saw this recently, A Green Book. Another movie that we talk about in the Oscar portion of the podcast, so I won't touch on it too much here. Loved Viggo Mortensen and the co-star, man, I can never say his name correctly. I think it's Mahershala Ali. Hope I said that right. Great chemistry between those two actors. Really interesting story. I know there's been some reports to the accuracy of the story, but nevertheless, as a movie, really, really good, and definitely a movie I would recommend. Number six, this movie, I still talk about it to this day, and I saw it over 4 months ago, and I hope it wins an Academy Award on Sunday, but it's Free Solo, the documentary about Alex Honnold. Unbelievable movie, and do yourself a favor if you haven't watched this movie, and go to YouTube and type in Free Solo National Geographic. It's a 360 YouTube video. You'll know what that is when you watch the video. It is unbelievable. That movie, it needs to be seen by everyone. What an achievement that Alex performs in this movie. It's great. One of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Number seven. Controversial choice here, but I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, was I Can Only Imagine. Another true story. Crazy true story about the band Mercy Me and their lead singer and kind of what he goes through with his father. And I just felt like the message of that movie is so applicable to our day and age and something that could benefit us all. Really resonated with me, and I thought it was a great movie. Number eight, Den of Thieves. This came out in January of 2018 with Gerard Butler as an undercover cop kind of going after this gang that robs banks in Los Angeles. So gritty. It has a scene at the end, kind of a shootout chase scene that just feels so realistic. I thought they did a great job. I really enjoyed that movie. Number nine, another movie that I thought was a lot of fun, Searching. It's all kind of through, the way that they tell the story is through screens. So through computer screens, phones. The way that they tell the story is what makes it so interesting. And I had a lot of fun. I wasn't sure if that style of filmmaking was going to work. In my opinion, it absolutely does. And running up the top 10, I could have put a number of movies here that I enjoyed, but I put Ready Player One because I thought it was a lot of fun. So I haven't read the book. I've heard that there's a lot of inaccuracies with the book. So if you've read the book, you probably won't love the movie, but I had a good time with this movie, and it's something that I would definitely recommend. All right, that wraps up the top 10 of 2018 for me. I'd love to hear what movies you think should be in that top 10. If you want to hit me up on Twitter or Facebook, I'd love to hear about it. So, all right, that was it. And now it's time for Mitch Marshall as we discuss the Oscars coming up this Sunday.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Not too bad, Mitch. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Me too. I love Oscars. I don't know why I do. I mean, I love movies. We've talked about this before on the podcast, but Oscars are, I don't know, it's something kind of fun to root for movies that you think are good and for them to be validated, you know?
Oh, yeah. And once you learn more and you see more, it just becomes more and more interesting. So I'm willing to spend my time Oscar watching and then enjoying one night. I have a friend who has a really fun party, so I'm pretty stoked.
There you go. Here's my monologue to the podcast. Just a little, you know, podcast Oscars twist. I think
Gotcha.
I think that Bohemian Rhapsody is going to win some awards that I don't think it deserves. I mentioned that earlier on my Twitter today, but I'm hearing all this chatter that Rami Malek might win Best Actor, that it could win some editing awards, and I don't know how you feel about the movie, but for me, it was just a okay to good movie. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I don't feel like it's worthy of any awards. Do you?
I absolutely don't. Look, if Rami wins, and I really enjoyed Mr. Robot Season 1, like, I think he's a really talented guy, and yep. He did transform for it, but one, he did not sing, which Bradley Cooper did, just putting that out there, but, yep. And I don't expect him to have Freddie Mercury's voice, but if he won, I wouldn't be mad, but otherwise, I enjoyed the movie. I like Queen. It was fun to see their story, even if it wasn't super accurate, just seeing the band form. But the movie is not that good. The recreations are cool, but otherwise, the story is choppy.
Yep.
It's not great editing. It's not great cinematography. It's not great writing. And like this is, it's okay to be like, oh, this is a fun biopic, but I for the life of me don't understand why it won a Golden Globe. Even if the Golden Globes are foolish, this movie should never have been nominated for Best Picture.
Totally. To me, it feels in a lot of ways like last year with The Greatest Showman, which The Greatest Showman was fun. Had some good music.
Right.
It was a good movie. No one was asking for it to be awarded anything when it comes to awards. And I feel the same way about this. I'm with you. It's just like, and Rami was fine. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
If he wins, I don't think it's a crime. It's funny that Ethan Hawke is not even nominated for First Reformed, who maybe should be winning. But Rami, that's fine. This is terrible, but Bryan Singer is such a controversial figure, and that might make people less likely to vote for the film. And I'm like, good,
yes.
Regardless of him, it should not be nominated.
Yes, and here's something that I believe to be true in film, Mitch, is when movies go through a tumultuous production like this did, it leaks onto the screen. Like when people change,
yeah.
When people change directors mid-production or even in the editing bay, I can feel it. There's not continuity in the movie. And like you mentioned, like the movie was good, it was entertaining, it was fun, but you could definitely tell that it had some issues in production.
Yeah, the movement of that film is just not, it's just not there. Like to some degree it's the hero's journey, but there's some random twists and things that just take too much time where I was ready for it to be over, even though Live Aid is obviously one of the most fun moments from that movie.
Oh, totally. The end of that movie is fantastic, but there's
Do you think that's the worst movie in the Best Picture list?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. I'm looking at the list now, and I'm like, am I missing something? No, it's got to be the worst, but I doubt it'll finish last place if they were to release the rank.
I know. It just has no business even being nominated for Best Picture. It's almost offensive to movies that made money in prior years that got no love. And, you know, you think of Dark Knight Rises got an acting award, but I don't think Christopher Nolan's movies have been nominated for much. And it makes no sense. I can't figure it out why it's even there. It's weird.
No, and you think about a Black Panther and even Black Klansman may not get nominated a lot of years, and I'm glad that they are now because it's all make up for the Dark Knight missing out. And I'd much rather see an achievement. Like Black Panther was so propped up,
yeah.
And it was a tentpole thing, and yet it still had something bigger to say. It did a lot of really good, interesting things. It suffered from some general, you know, 2.5-hour superhero movie flaws, but
yep.
I'd much rather see that appreciated than something like Bohemian Rhapsody, because they did leave out, like, you and I had a little bit of a Twitter back and forth about how Roma is a boring, very filmmakers type of movie.
Totally.
Versus the more entertaining movies that more people will see but are good. I mean, we missed out on some Roma-esque movies, like First Reformed, like there was an indie one called The Rider. I think that those movies are getting pushed out a little bit, which is fine, but then you can't let something like Bohemian Rhapsody sneak in.
I'll tell you what makes no sense to me in this year is, how is A Quiet Place not in here if Bohemian Rhapsody is? That's, you know?
Oh, I wonder if A Quiet Place came out in October, if it is in here. I at least would have liked to see A Quiet Place get, did it get a writing nomination?
Let's, no, it didn't. It didn't.
It did not. Yeah.
It got
that one, and then, yeah. Also, 8th Grade. Did you see 8th Grade?
Yeah, 8th Grade was good.
Yeah, and it won the Writers Guild Best Original Screenplay Award, and it's not even nominated here. And so those are two I would have liked to see get a little bit more love, but especially A Quiet Place. If we're going to start looking at genre, if Get Out, which might end up being the most memorable good movie from last year, got nominated, like, it would be nice to see. I know there's been some Quiet Place backlash, but it's good. It did something in a theater that not many movies have done, and just made you feel like you had to be there and experience it with people. I do wish it was on this list.
Let's start with Best Picture category. I'll ask you, who do you think is deserving, and who do you think are going to win? Because those two things may not always coincide. So start us off with Best Picture.
Best Picture. So I will say I have not seen Green Book, which I know is generally a, not a front runner, but it's up there. It could win.
Yes.
So that is the only one I haven't seen. I would say the only two movies that I think are deserving are Roma and A Star Is Born, followed probably by The Favorite, and from what I have heard, A Green Book.
Uh-huh.
Black Panther is getting a lot of late chatter to make a push, and this year is wide open enough. I would not be mad if that happened.
Yep.
But look, it is not the best movie to come out.
No.
It is a really good movie, and it's a favorite. Like, it does a lot of great things. I love Michael B. Jordan. I love Chadwick Boseman. I love all the actresses in those roles. So don't get me wrong. But, yeah, I would think A Star Is Born should win, but it looks like it has no shot. It's gotten no love all award season. Like, think about all the award shows that lead up to this. You have the Globes, the BAFTAs, and then all the Guilds. It just doesn't seem like there's enough there. Roma, look, I know it's not for everyone. I know it was also on Netflix and it was probably meant to be seen in theaters.
Yep.
It is a filmmaker and a film nerd's movie. I hope it wins Best Director.
Yes.
But I almost want it to win Best Picture just so that something bad doesn't. But those would be my two front runners. If I were voting, it would be A Star Is Born.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I think Roma is going to win. And I'm not... That was a hard watch for me. I wouldn't be totally upset if it won because I know that there's a lot of direct, like you mentioned, some serious achievement. And Cuarón is one of the finest directors that we have right now. The movies he makes are phenomenal. Yeah.
Who goes from Harry Potter to Gravity to Roma? I mean, it's impressive.
Totally.
It's beautiful. It does have something to say, but it's not for everyone, and it is not. I didn't call it gripping. I would almost call it mesmerizing if you have some interest in that. And that's why they were going to take the Cinematography Award out of the awards. That's why cinematography needs to be in the Oscars, because movies like this change the way people look at what's framed in a picture, in a video.
Just saying. I think I have Roma winning cinematography, and I think it's well-deserved there. I also, like you, though, I would choose A Star Is Born for Best Picture because it does so many things so well that it makes me sad that it's going to get ignored. You've got a first-time performance by Lady Gaga, who is just absolutely incredible in this movie.
So good, so good.
Bradley Cooper, believe it or not, is like overshadowed by Lady Gaga, and he is phenomenal. It's one of Bradley Cooper's best performances in his career, and he's getting zero love for it. It's crazy.
Yeah, writing, direct. He didn't even get nominated for director. It's frustrating. The movie is... It tells a classic story. It's literally a remake in a lot of ways, but it mixes it up. It says a lot of things. It's emotional. It's funny. It's sweet. It's rewatchable.
Yep.
That's the thing, is this combines good filmmaking you get with Roma with the rewatchability and enjoyability of something more, say, on the Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody side. Like, people love this soundtrack. And, yeah, Bradley Cooper, which we've always known he's talented. Like, for him to come out and be a triple threat and really just put out this great movie, I'd love to see it get more love. And I think everyone's worried about the Oscars audience. This is much more a movie people are going to be happy got rewarded compared to Roma.
100%. And here's the thing about movies like Roma, are there are other categories that have enough prestige that you can award them there, like cinematography, and then give a movie like A Star Is Born, which, you know, by all accounts, does so many things so well. It blows my mind. It's another classic example, like La La Land, of a movie that comes out too soon and then it runs out of gas for whatever reason, and people stop talking about it, and it's no longer trendy. And it, I think we're going to look back on this year just like we do on La La Land and be like, how did this happen?
I absolutely think that, and maybe they'll mistakenly give me a moment of hope and say A Star Is Born, and then Bradley Cooper can tell me it's really Roma. I don't know. But let me tell you the one moment I didn't like in A Star Is Born is Lady Gaga gets out of dance rehearsal, and she's breathing hard but not sweating. That is the only mistake I saw in the entire movie.
I'll have to go back and watch that. That's funny.
And by the way, a lot of these are out now, so it's pretty nice. It's easy to access a lot of these movies, so if people want to binge over the next day or so, and some theaters show a lot of these. I'll say what I was hoping would be better is The Favorite, which I enjoyed, but it's very specific, and it didn't hit the way it was supposed to.
It's a little weird.
Vice was cool for what it was. They did some good things, but again, it wasn't funny enough or really impactful enough. But I love Adam Kay, love what he's doing. And then Black Klansman, obviously Spike Lee has been screwed by the Oscars so many times. I'm happy to see this year. I wish they would have gone more with the comedy route, because, and I don't include the Charlottesville thing at the end, but everything else, I just think it was playing too much with tone. But man, it is, like, Adam Driver is a gem. So good movies, fun movies, but I mean, I would rather see Roma win than anything else if it's not A Star Is Born, which it doesn't seem to have. Because we got to remember, there's politics here. Yeah. Unfortunately, it is not really a great gauge of what's the best. Remember, last year we had a fish sex movie and Three Billboards as the finals.
That's unbelievable. So when I think about film in 2017, neither of those two movies ever crossed my mind, ever.
No, and I really didn't understand Three Billboards. I actually really liked The Shape of Water. It was, and in every element of creating a film, it is good.
Yep.
And I actually enjoyed the watching experience more than a lot of people. But I totally am like, yeah, that's going to be forgotten. And you know what's going to be remembered is a movie like Get Out.
Totally.
They weren't ready to award that.
Yep. Let's go on to major actor awards. We'll start with actress. This category for me, I want it to be Lady Gaga. I don't think it's going to be. And besides her performance, in my opinion, there weren't any spellbinding performances that really, to me, jump off the page as being, oh, you have to reward this person. The only one for me is Lady Gaga. She's not going to win. I think Glenn Close could even win.
So Glenn Close has been winning a lot, and The Wife is a movie no one cares about or has seen other than because of this odd reward to win. So I decided to watch some of it, and I've listened to a lot of breakdowns of this and to understand more of it. And I think, and this happened a couple of years ago with a movie called Elle, a French actress in a foreign film won, even though it was a movie nobody had seen. And I was like, you better be amazing. And Glenn Close, who is a wonderful actress, is not amazing in this.
Right.
I hope Olivia Colman sneaks away with it, because she seems to be second place right now.
Uh-huh.
But Lady Gaga, who doesn't seem to have a shot, like, she's the only performance here that came off with a ton of punch.
Yep.
And I liked it a lot. So my vote would be for Lady Gaga. If I had to predict who's going to win, I actually would say Glenn Close.
Oh, man. There are surprises in Oscar night, which does make it interesting. But the chatter, I'm with you. Glenn Close is a terrific actress. She'll be remembered as one of the greats up there with Meryl Streep. For this particular movie and that particular role, it's really not that memorable. It's just a good, well done by Glenn Close, not worthy of writing home about.
No, it's not. And like I said, I would hope Olivia Colman can slip in, because she has, even though what's interesting about The Favourite is it clearly has three lead actresses and they just had to submit to different categories. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are both nominated for supporting, but if Colman walked away with it just for being this crazy queen, that would be fun, but it's probably Glenn.
Yep.
Sorry, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think so. Moving to a best actor, what do you have here?
For best actor, oh boy, I really think Rami Malek is the leader right now.
Oh my gosh.
I think Christian Bale is the best shot to upset him, which I'm fine with. He was the best part of Vice in a lot of ways. It was a fascinating role. It's fascinating what he did with it.
Yep.
Christian Bale might be the closest that we have to, oh boy, what's the guy who retired last year? Who's
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Daniel Day-Lewis, like, he did the transformation, and he really was in it. Bradley Cooper, again, I would not be, I think he should win, but I think Rami can win, and I'm actually not all that mad at that. Like, he had that prosthetic in his mouth for a long time. Give the man a trophy.
I would choose... I can't allow myself to not pick Bradley Cooper because I was so enthralled by his performance, his ability to sing, the fact that he completely changed his voice for the role. I mean, when you think of when you think of quality acting and you look at that list, it's obvious Bradley Cooper is the choice in terms of just being the best actor in his film out of those movies. I hope somehow that he wins. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's, like you mentioned, I think it's between Rami and Christian Bale. And that makes me sad because Christian Bale is good in Vice, but I think he's been better in other movies. And I would even argue I liked him more in the other Adam McKay movie, The Big Short. I thought he was phenomenal.
I like that movie a lot.
Me too. I love that movie. And so there's a bunch of people on here who did a good job. But nothing that really makes you say that was the best performance I've seen from an actor, except for Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. And Bradley Cooper, his only other big award farewell, he was in the David O. Russell. Like, I love Silver Linings Playbook. I didn't care for American Hustle or Joy, but American Sniper was his other kind of big awards move, and he put on weight. He was very good in it. But this is just a different level. And to know he was also directing, I mean, I guess you shouldn't get extra credit for that, but it's pretty impressive. Change Your Voice, the play guitar. I believed he was a rock star. I also believed his range of emotion from addiction to love to suicide. And when he's a complete a-hole to Lady Gaga, like, it worked. It was real.
Oh, totally. He just, yeah. And something I love about A Star Is Born, you can tell me if you agree or not. I mean, it's not really a right or wrong opinion, but I love movies which, when I walk out of there, I'm really thinking, because like in A Star Is Born, I still talk about this point with friends, is when towards the end of the movie, he answers the door, it's Gaga's manager, he says a bunch of bad things, and you wonder what impact that has. And like I still reflect on that scene, and I'm like, do I treat people with respect to the point that they're not going to kill themselves? Like I reflect on a movie like A Star Is Born, and there's only a handful of those a year that I'm really thinking about and applying to my life, and it's definitely not any of the other movies.
And we gotta remember, like, the Academy is full of artists, whether they be in front of the camera or not.
Yep.
And those are people that grapple with a little bit more of heightened emotion and consideration. And like this, I think, speaks to people in the way you're going to treat someone and they're balancing their mental health and success. And, and to make it, to then have that reflect upon me, who maybe I can't relate to Lady Gaga's character, but I can certainly relate to a relationship dynamic or someone not understanding their self-worth or their role in someone else's life. That's a big lesson to take away from a Hollywood movie.
Totally. I'm right there with you. I think the consensus so far is A Star Is Born is not going to get the love that I think it deserves.
Not at all. I'll be happy if it comes away with a couple, but other than, I mean, and it can't even be nominated for Best Song, is that right, or is it?
I think it is nominated for Original Song, and if it doesn't win that, then I don't even know what to say.
Shallow is a fantastic song. I've enjoyed listening to it since.
Yep.
And yeah, that's the only one where I can solidly say it probably has a good shot.
Yep, totally. Supporting actress... Kind of an interesting group of actresses here. I went with Emma Stone. I thought that her performance was really solid. From that list of actresses, I think I liked her performance the most.
I agree. And I wonder if Rachel Weisz was just as good, but her character was less likable.
Right.
Regina King has been better. I would not mind if she won. Amy Adams was fine. She was doing what Amy Adams does.
Yep.
I really think it should come down between the two favorite actresses, but they may split the vote. It might be that kind of a case, in which case...
Coleman gets it?
And then
they can't give it. Yeah.
But that's a little bit of a crapshoot, I think, because of that.
There's something...
But if Emma walks away, I won't be sad.
there's definitely not anyone in that list that was so far superior to other people that I would feel it's a travesty if anyone won, you know?
No.
And you can't you can't forget the Roma actress, too. She did a great job.
That's true, and there's an old Oscar tradition of over-awarding a single film for multiple awards. Because it's like, if we're going to give this best picture and we're undecided in other categories, we're just going to throw a bonus way. It's like Bohemian Rhapsody. If it won best picture, I'd probably take away best sound editing too. But yep. I think that there is a world where Roma wins picture, director, cinematography, and gets this acting category as well for the mother who does a great job. But you got to remember, she's actually not on screen that ton, and she is a fairly standard that sounds terrible because she is going through a really difficult time and having to
right.
take her family through it, but it's not something we haven't seen before, so I would not be in love with that, but she was very good. She did a great job in a very good movie that does hinge on the end there, like her bringing her family together. A lot does come down to her.
Yeah, totally. Supporting actor, it's too bad you haven't seen Green Book. Green Book is a really good movie. It's also a really controversial movie. And I don't quite understand the controversy myself. I know of it. I don't know why it's such a big deal to people, but it sounds like I don't even know how to say his name.
Mahershala.
Mahershala, there you go. Mahershala. It sounds like he's going to win, and he was great.
I think that's what's acceptable. So the controversy surrounds that Green Book, one of the writers is Viggo Mortensen's character's sons or grandsons yep. or something, and they're just making it seem a little bit white savior-ish, where it's just like putting this racial dynamic in a really good light when it actually was not that positive, because Mahershala Ali, his character's family, his real-life family, has come out and just said, hey, this is not how this went,
right?
And this is a little bit too, like, race happiness when that is not something we support. In the end, though, I've only heard that, like, it actually is a good, enjoyable movie, and I mean, is that how you describe it to me?
Oh,
is
yeah.
It, like, Remember the Titans-esque?
And, yes, like, exactly. That's a great way to describe it. Remember the Titans-esque. Yeah, just a good, feel-good movie. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't really love Sam Rockwell in Vice. He's fine, and he does a pretty decent job for one of the most imitated human beings ever in George W. Bush. Sam Elliott, I really like as an actor, period, and he does a lot with a little in A Star Is Born.
Right.
I would love for Adam Driver to win, though. He would be my pick. He does a great job at handling a swath of emotions and being hilarious and uncomfortable and convincing in his role in Black Klansman. So if I had to pick who was going to win, I think it'd be Mahershala. If I was going to vote, it would be Adam Driver, and my runner-up would be Sam Elliott.
Something that I hate about the Oscars is, like, you look at Adam Driver, and he may be deserving of the award. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. There's just this weird culture in the Oscars where it's like, well, you know, he hasn't done enough quality movies to be given this award yet. Like you mentioned earlier, it so often seems like there's more at play when casting a vote than just the category itself.
Yeah. It's what's behind the movie. And so sometimes they'll nominate sensational, very new people, but Adam Driver's not new enough. He's been in a couple more big, serious roles. Obviously, he started in an HBO show for a while and has done Star Wars. But And sometimes, you know, in Oscars, you get a memorial award. Like, this person has, like, Spike Lee might not win Best Director. I don't think he will. But after so many years of probably having should have won something, there might be a point where for not his best movie, he is given an award.
Yep, totally. Which, it's frustrating because that's not necessarily fair to that crop of movies. And in a perfect world, we would just be evaluating these people on the work that they've done during the year. You know, Glenn Close, I think, is a primary example of this. She's not going to be judged for this movie. She's going to be judged for having been nominated so many times and never won. And so it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Glenn Close, she deserves it, you know?
Yeah, and yeah, there's, I will say, I guess Lady Gaga's fantastic burst on the scene, but to some degree, that's not enough, and there's no one else that stands out enough, I guess.
Yeah, totally. So,
who do you think's going to win Best Supporting Actor?
I think it's going to be Mahershala. I would like it to be Sam Elliott, but I just wonder if there wasn't enough of him in the movie to justify giving him the award when Mahershala was... I know he's being nominated as supporting actor, but he was in the movie as much, if not more, than Viggo Mortensen. So, I mean, screen time was so close between those two. So he had a lot more of the movie and the success of that movie on his shoulders, where Sam Elliott was fantastic, but, you know...
He was one small element.
Yeah, he wasn't the driving force behind the movie, you know? So... I think Mahershala will take it. Though there's a part of me that wonders, you know, Mahershala just won recently, and Mahershala was good in Green Book, but he wasn't like the greatest thing I've ever seen, so I don't know. Both of the supporting categories, there's not really any, in my opinion, standout performances where if that person doesn't win, I'd be stunned.
No. Which is good. I actually think overall in all of the categories, there's very few where we have sure things. And once in a while, you will have an acting award where you know where it's going.
Yep. All right, we went through some of the main ones. We touched on cinematography. I'll go first on this and I'll let you think, but maybe bring up a category or two that you find interesting, maybe the race or the movies in it. For me, I want to make sure that Free Solo wins documentary feature, because that movie was phenomenal. And, you know, I went into that expecting, I don't know if you've seen Free Solo. I went in expecting a rock climbing movie, and it was so much more than that.
It was a very interesting, like, examination of character.
Totally.
And I was so interested in that. I started looking at more stuff about that climber, and it was actually funny. They released a video last night where he is commenting on how realistic some rock climbing in movies is.
That was great.
Super interesting. It's a character examination. It's a psychological examination. Have you seen Minding the Gap?
No, I have not seen Minding the Gap. You like that?
So it's on Hulu, and it's a very complicated look at domestic abuse, early 2000 skate culture, and I guess 2010s type of skate culture, which... There are things I think everyone will be familiar with, but it just examines these kids growing up in a very difficult way.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's a great year for documentaries. You got to remember, two of the biggest documentaries this year, Won't You Be My Neighbor and Three Identical Strangers, were not nominated.
You're right.
Yeah. Us Fathers and Sons is really cool, but it's an amazing achievement, but I don't think it's best documentary. And then Hale County this evening is also fascinating, but I think it comes down between Minding the Gap and Free Solo. And if I had to choose, I'd say Minding the Gap, but if Free Solo wins, I will not be in any way like disappointed. But seriously, the best year for documentaries, both money-wise and quality-wise, in a very long time.
I'll have to check out Minding the Gap. Any categories?
It's on Hulu, by the way.
It is?
So if you have easy. It's an easy watch. Nothing. Free Solo, go see in a theater. Luckily, it was in a lot of Utah theaters for a long time.
Yeah.
Minding the Gap. It's been on Hulu forever, which might hurt it, but check it out if you have a couple hours.
All right. Any categories that jump out to you that you think is interesting?
I think I'm going to go to the animated category.
Okay.
Obviously, this is usually the space of Pixar. If they release a good movie, it'll win. Incredibles 2, I think, is good. I didn't love it, and I think it would have run away if Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse didn't capture everyone so well. Isle of Dogs, shout out to Wes Anderson. He does cool stuff. I don't want it to win. I don't think it has a shot. I don't know anything about Mariah, to be honest, and Ralph Breaks the Internet was fine. It was fun. But I really hope Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse momentum takes it over the Pixar barrier, because it's so meta, it's so fun, it breaks all the rules. I didn't know if I'd like it at first, generally, if there's an animated spin-off of a property, it's not well done. It's not a real feature.
Right.
And this movie, just so much fun, such a great cast. It's got those Lord and Miller feels, but it's all its own. That is one. I think it is close to a lock because of so much momentum, but I didn't want to go without spotlighting one, probably the most pleasant surprise of the year for me.
Huh. Very interesting. All right.
Have you seen that movie?
I have not. I need to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt, you see more movies than I do, and not many people can say that. I'm telling you, you got to see Spider-Man.
Yes, it's
and only... I'm so sick of Spider-Man, and I don't dislike Tom Holland at all, but it's just, I'm sick of it, and this movie was so refreshing.
That's where I'm at, and I just got to get over it. So now that it's starting to maybe, I'm also kind of getting to the point, this is maybe a subject for another day, Mitch, but... Now that MoviePass is long gone from our lives, I'm a little more picky with what I see.
R.I.P. Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, to me, I was like, I'll see it at home, and I just haven't watched it at home yet, you know?
Yeah. And there are some movies you want to see in theaters. I think Free Solo is one. I think Quiet Place is one. And I want people to see more comedy in theaters because it's kind of just hurting right now because it is a great home-watching experience. But yep. A lot of these, you can, like, Finding the Gap and Spider-Man, both of those easy home watches.
Yep.
I will throw a few really predictable categories. I think Avengers will win for visual effects. I think makeup will win for Vice.
Yep.
And then I always want to shout out to the writing categories because I think they're really critical to films.
But totally.
I don't really know. I don't think there's any runaway winners. In those, I think sometimes writing, it's one of two things. It's either like, let's credit this little film that didn't get a lot of love in other categories. That's what happened with Get Out, as much as you can call it a little film.
Yep.
Or they're just like, we're just going to give it to who won. Like, let's just give it to Roma because it's going to win everything else. Or let's just give it to Green Book because it's going to win everything else.
Yep, totally. I know.
But
those writing categories are hard because there are a lot of good options there. I could see it going a lot of ways. I picked Green Book for original, though I could see that going to any one of those five. And
that one, I think, is much more closely contested. It would be fun if the favorite won. I think Roma, again, could get... If we get caught up in Roma fever, it might just get that, too.
Yep.
In the adapted, I hope Black Klansman gets it. Like, let's at least get that movie one award. But I don't know at this point.
Oh yeah, totally. I wouldn't be sad with that. I wouldn't be sad with The Star Is Born because, you know, I feel like
Star Is Born comes in and just wins everything, I'm gonna be happy. I'm gonna be all on board.
Me too.
It's like, I first got into the Oscars because I had heard about it. I'd watched some with my family, but when Lord of the Rings was nominated for stuff right after Fellowship,
yep.
I watched that, and it was a rude awakening when it lost to Moulin Rouge and then Chicago before Return of the King finally won. And I was, but that's what got me into this, and now I'm at the point where I'm seeing most of these movies, and it's fun to have one to root for that has a shot. I'm shocked that I don't think that Star Wars 1 has a shot, but I'm going to be rooting for it regardless.
Same. All right. Final thought here. What do you think of the Oscars not having a host?
Oh, yeah, this is an interesting subject. I think Kevin Hart would have done fine.
Yep.
I think The Rock would have done fine. I'm going to miss the opening monologue, even though they usually only hit on maybe 30 to 40% of those jokes. It's fun.
Yep.
I've been told that the last Oscars without a host in, like, the 60s or 70s was a disaster, but I don't think it's that difficult because it actually, first of all, the Oscars cut those awards and then brought them back onto the telecast because they were worried about it going over time. I'm like, without a host and all the extra little intros and bits, you just have the announcer, and I think this is something that could go very smooth and be just fine. And actually save us some time and some dumb jokes, but they could also butcher it because I don't have a whole lot of faith in the producers of the Oscars right now.
Oh yeah.
So we'll see, but I'm actually fine with it. I think that there's a very smooth way to just bring out each presenter, bring out an introducer of a musical number or someone presenting a Best Picture nominee. Like, this could go just fine. I would rather have a host, even though, like, if we're grading hosts, I think people generally get a C or lower, even if they're great people.
Yep.
Like, people just want to hate. Like, you almost can't win. Like, who wants that job right now? Kevin Hart does, but, you know, you win some, you lose some. What did you think about it?
I think it's kind of ridiculous that there's not a host. It's crazy. It also speaks volumes to people are. I think people are starting to realize that it's like a thankless job that you can't win. You know, it's like
yeah.
Doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to be liked, so no one wants to do it anymore. And then there's also the backlash between specific movies getting recognized at the Academy Awards. So I'm with you though. I think if done right, it could be a benefit to the Oscars to keep the speed going, just flow through the awards, go quick. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a disaster either.
Yeah, I don't have faith in them executing it properly, but I think that there is an easy path to making a no-host work. But I wish we could have a host. Like,
yeah.
But like you said, there's just it's a thankless job. You're always going to get more backlash or you didn't do something right when you only have so much control. I think Jimmy Kimmel actually did a decent job.
Yeah.
He comes on to he and his cousin Sal goes on the Ringer podcast a lot, and hearing them describe the behind the scenes of how Oscar week goes and how difficult it is, I just don't think we could have expected him to do it again, but
yeah.
Like, let's just find someone who hits that standard and just not make a huge deal out of it. We don't need Chris Rock or Ellen or Anne Hathaway and James Franco to try too hard. Like, just keep it simple.
Totally. I'm with you. All right, Mitch, it'll be interesting. Well, we might have to talk again once the awards are over to see how far off
we are. I hope we get one shock. I'm going to go to an Oscar party and have some good food and just hopefully enjoy myself. It's a good year for movies. I don't think it's a great year for awards movies. So it'll be fun. But yeah, we'll have to reconvene and see how this all goes.
Absolutely. Mitch, thanks as always for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem at all. Always enjoy doing the podcast, man, and you have a good one.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
See you.